Freedom of speech, motherfucker.
Okay.
Something for the kids. Step in the club smoothly with the L in my hand. Bitches know that I'm a freak, like the Elephant Man. Intelligent plans, fuck a record deal. I want development land with my benevolent clan. And that's the reason that I only trust my fam. 40,000 records sold, 400 grand. Fuck a middleman, I won't pay anyone else. I'll bootleg it and sell it to the streets myself. I'd rather be that than signed and stuck on a shelf. And because of this, executives try to diss me. Racism frozen in time like Walt Disney. And now they say they wanna get me signed to the majors. If I switch up my politics and change my behavior, trying to tell me what the rhyme about over the beat. Bitch niggas that never spent a day in the street. But I repeat that, nobody can hold my reins. I put the truth on tracks, nigga, simple and plain.
I got no strings, so I have fun. I'm not tied up to anyone. Take that string, but you can see there are no strings on me.
I guess to America, I'm a disaster. Oh, no. A slave that was destined to own his masters. Independent in every single sense of the word. I say what I want, you fucking little sensitive herb. This is America, thought we had freedom of speech. But now you wanna try to control the way that I speak. And O'Reilly, you think you a patriot?
Yeah, right.
You ain't nothing but a motherfucking racist bitch. Full of hatred, pressing a button, trying to eject me. But I don't got no motherfucking deal with Pepsi. No corporate sponsor telling me what to do. Asking me to tone it down during an interview. Trying to minimize the issue, but I'm keeping it large. I love the place I live, but I hate the people in charge. Speaking is hard when you got strings attached, so I'ma say it for you, cause I don't got none of that. And if you didn't understand what I spit at your brain, ayo son, let this little nigga explain.
I got no strings, so I have fun. I'm not tied up to anyone. Take that string, but you can see there are no strings on me.
Come on son, y'all niggas know the way that I do. ImmortalTechnique.com live for you. And I know sometimes it be making you nervous, the way I smash puppet rappers that belong in a circus. You motherfuckers just can't compare. Looking for a fan base that's no longer there. I know that you're scared and you're hiding up in the cut. But this is freedom of speech, nigga, tell them what's up. Word, nigga, fuck John Ashcroft. Nigga, fuck Fox News. Fuck those snake-ass bitches trying to manipulate your opinion, telling you what to think. Word the fuck up, nigga. Like, we invading niggas cause we wanna free them. You racist motherfucker, you don't give a shit about those people. You can suck my dick.
Relax, Tech, relax.
Another rum and coke at the bar, nigga. It's my day off.
Word up.
Fuck. For the kids. Ah! For the kids.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Underground. My name is Z, I'll be your host here on Revere Radio Network for the next hour or so. This is the debut program for me here on Revere on the Underground. I hope you guys can bear with me for the next hour. It might be pretty painful, some of the things you're going to hear. Not because they're particularly shocking, just because I don't have a whole lot of experience doing this kind of thing, so hopefully you can bear with me, hopefully you'll be entertained for the next hour or so, and you'll come back next week and hear what I have to say again. Just to give you guys a quick bio, I'm 24 years old. I'm a dual citizen of the United States and Canada, and I now reside in Canada. So I can give you a perspective from both sides of the border, if you will. A lot of people think that Canada's, you know, the great place to go if you want to get away from the draft, or, you know, hey, they got free health care, let's pretend we're Canadian, but we got our own problems here. It's not such a perfect country as no nation state really is, and I'm going to be doing my thing from this side of the border now, I guess. But without further ado, let's get on the first topic of discussion tonight on the Underground. We're going to have a few topics. One of them being, I'm going to go over something called A Timeline of CIA Atrocities. It was written by Steve Kangas. I picked this particular article up off the web at a site called 100777.com. That's 100777.com. There's all kinds of interesting articles and whatnot on that site there. This is, again, written by Steve Kangas, Timeline of the CIA Atrocities. anyone who knows the history of the CIA or even American history in general would know that it was established in 1947 by way of the National Security Act of 47. It took effect on September 18th of 1947. And pretty much since that day to present day, the CIA has been highly active in the world, in various countries around the world, overthrowing governments and, you know, assassinating leaders and et cetera, et cetera. We've all heard the dirty trick stories, but we're going to go into a lot of them in this article here. I want you guys out there to think about what the first thing you notice about somebody you might be talking to when you bring up the CIA and some of the atrocities that they have committed over the years, because there are a lot of them that are public knowledge. And you know, you even mentioned something like the Bay of Pigs, or you know, or the School of the Americas. Those are just two examples of atrocities in our own hemisphere, let alone all those committed in Europe and the Middle East and Asia over the years. People look at you like you're talking to them about aliens or sea monsters or something, and you just want to fucking choke them, you know? Like, I don't know about you guys. You're probably older than I am, and probably a little more mature, but I get the overwhelming urge a lot to just slap the shit out of people and say, wake up. Like, this world is crumbling around us, and if we don't start fucking paying attention and turn off fucking Survivor and Fear Factor and American Idol and all that bullshit that they put out to us, then we're going to continue to go on a downward slide, and it may be too late to stop it. But back to the CIA, I just find it amazing that people, you know, won't even give you the time of day, even when you're talking about something that is historical record and historical fact. But since the word CIA or the letters CIA are involved in the conversation, they glaze over, and you know the rest. You're forever known as the tinfoil hat guy and all that bullshit, you know, all the buzzwords and all that. So it's really hard to try to get it through to people that, you know, you're funding murderers and, you know, dictators and assassins and economic saboteurs, if you will. They just don't get it. They don't care. So I think this is pretty pertinent information for anyone who's trying to understand why the rest of the world looks at us here in the West like they do. Because it's stuff like this, not specifically this, but stuff like this that has been committed in my name and in your name and in the name of everybody else who lives in the United States. I personally am ashamed of it, and I hope people will really catch on to what's going on and, you know, try to speak out. I mean, we saw something to that effect from the black community in L.A. when the stories written by Gary Webb came out about CIA drug trafficking in L.A., where a CIA director at the time, John Deutsch, was confronted in a town hall meeting by members of the black community and, among others, Mike Rupert from the Wilderness, who confronted Deutsch, and many speculate that Deutsch was passed over for Secretary of Defense because of that confrontation. So there's a positive thing that came out of all that, and hopefully we can have a few of those in the near future, you know. So, anyway, on to the article. It's called A Timeline of CIA Atrocities, again written by Steve Kangas. CIA operations follow the same reoccurring script. First, American business interests abroad are threatened by a popular, democratically elected leader. The people support their leader because he intends to conduct land reform, strengthen unions, redistribute wealth, nationalize foreign-owned industry, and regulate business to protect workers, consumers, and the environment. So on behalf of American business, and often with their help, the CIA mobilizes the opposition. First, it identifies right-wing groups within the country, usually the military, and offers them a deal. We'll put you in power if you maintain a favorable business climate for us. The agency then hires, trains, and works with them to overthrow the existing government, usually a democracy. It uses every trick in the book: propaganda, stuffed ballot boxes, purchased elections, extortion, blackmail, sexual intrigue, false stories about opponents in the local media, infiltration, disruption of opposing political parties, kidnapping, beating, torture, intimidation, economic sabotage, death squads, and even assassination. So let's go back to the beginning of that list. It sounds very, very familiar to most Americans, doesn't it? Most of the things that I just rhymed off that are tricks that are used by the CIA to overthrow governments seem to be used on a regular basis in most aspects of American life nowadays, and that's pretty scary. Anyway, back to the article. These efforts culminated in a military coup which installs a right-wing dictator. CIA trains the dictator's security apparatus to crack down on the traditional enemies of big business using interrogation, torture, and murder. The victims are said to be communists, but almost always they're just peasants, liberals, moderates, labor union leaders, political opponents, and advocates of free speech and democracy. Widespread human rights abuses follow. This scenario has been repeated so many times the CIA actually teaches it in a special school, the notorious School of the Americas. It opened in Panama, but later moved to Fort Benning, Georgia. Critics have nicknamed it the School of the Dictators and the School of the Assassins. Here, the CIA trains Latin American military officers how to conduct coups, including the use of interrogation, torture, and murder. The Association for Responsible Dissent estimates that by 1987, 6 million people had died as a result of CIA covert operations. 6 million people as a result of CIA covert operations. Wow. Former State Department official William Blum correctly calls this an American Holocaust. The CIA justifies these actions as part of its war against communism, but most coups do not involve a communist threat. Unlucky nations, are targeted for a wide variety of reasons, not only threats to American business interests abroad, but also liberal or even moderate social reforms, political instability, and the unwillingness of a leader to carry out Washington's orders and declarations of neutrality in the Cold War. Indeed, nothing has infuriated CIA directors like a nation's desire to stay out of the Cold War. The ironic thing about all this intervention is that it frequently fails to achieve American objectives. Often, the newly installed dictator grows comfortable with the security apparatus the CIA has built for him. He becomes an expert at running a police state. And because the dictator knows he cannot be overthrown, he becomes independent and defiant of Washington's will. The CIA then finds it cannot overthrow him because the police and military are under the dictator's control, afraid to cooperate with American spies for fear of torture and execution. The only two options the U.S. has at this point are impotence and war. Examples of this boomerang effect include the Shah of Iran, General Noriega, and, of course, our good friend Saddam Hussein. The boomerang effect also explains why the CIA has proven highly successful at overthrowing democracies, but a wretched failure at overthrowing dictatorships. The following timeline should confirm that the CIA as we know it should be abolished and replaced by a true information gathering and analysis organization. The CIA cannot be reformed, it's institutionally and culturally corrupt. Now, I'm not going to give you the whole reading of the whole timeline. It's 11 pages long, and I've only got an hour, so. But a few of them that really stand out to me are 1945 Operation Paperclip. While other American agencies are hunting down Nazi war criminals for arrest, the U.S. intelligence community is smuggling them into America, unpunished for their use against the Soviets. The most important of these is Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's master spy who built up an intelligence network in the Soviet Union. With full U.S. blessing, he creates the Gehlen Organization, a band of refugee Nazis who reactivate their networks in Russia. These include SS intelligence officers Alfred Six and Emil Osberg, who massacred Jews in the Holocaust, Klaus Barbie, the Butcher of Lyon, Otto von Bolschwing, the Holocaust mastermind who worked with Eichmann. The Gehlen Organization supplies the U.S. with its only intelligence on the Soviet Union for the next 10 years. serving as a bridge between the abolishment of the OSS and the creation of the CIA. However much of the intelligence the former Nazis provide is bogus, Galen inflates military capabilities at a time when Russia is still rebuilding its devastated society in order to inflate his own importance to the Americans, who might otherwise punish him. In 1948, Galen almost convinces the Americans that war is imminent and the West should make a preemptive strike. In the 50s, he produces the fictitious missile gap. To make matters worse, the Russians have thoroughly... So just do a Google search on Operation Paperclip, anybody who is interested in following that up. And you should find a lot of pertinent information to that topic. I'm going to go into a break, play you guys a song here. And something I'm going to do here on the Underground. So I'll play a song, and then I'm going to play some comedy right after it. So I want to keep everybody's spirits up, and maybe you can have a laugh or whatever while we're doing this. And you know, it might be depressing you 1 minute and making you laugh the next, I hope, if all goes well. So I'm going to play you guys a song and hear a little bit of stand-up comedy, and I'll come back and I'll go into the rest of this timeline, and we'll move on to the next topic of discussion here on the Underground on Revere Radio Network.
Every fucking day, our cities tell us what they think of justice. Lock the courteous away as the coward's monster cracks into the monolith. But if this man is free, the city burns. The city burns. The city burns. The city burns. And on these days of remembrance, let us not feel afraid for the dead, but let us stand actively for the living to rescue those about to die. We stand this course of followers and slaves. I can't believe we're still content. We're suffering the same old debts of kings and queens and for democracies. I'm still behind the back, forcing politicians. Forcing politicians.
Brick by brick. Wall by wall.
This is a bicentennial, too. It's nice the bicentennial got here, because we had the revolution. Remember the revolution, brother? We lost. Motherfuckers kicked our ass in about 6 months. We was bad on TV for about 6 months. We had white folks scared. Yeah, you motherfucker, okay. White folks were scared. 6 months, the shit was over. Paid the niggas off, they left. We was still out here talking about what? Huh?
What happened? Where's Ewing Eldridge? What happened to the guys? The shit's over? I mean, it's back to singing groups?
It's nice though. White folks gonna celebrate. You guys gonna celebrate 200 years of kicking ass. You motherfuckers have kicked everybody's ass on Earth 200 years. That's right, motherfucker. You motherfuckers so bad, people from outer space don't even come here no more. Spaceships used to land here and shit in the 50s, and they stopped.
They said, them white folks are motherfuckers, Jack.
Better not stay in that shit, because there's some terrible motherfuckers down there, boy.
They're celebrating this year. You motherfuckers held on for 200 years, just killed everybody. And Indians didn't have a chance. And you're saying, well, look at those strange motherfuckers.
Right, you son of a bitch, get the boats off. Come on. Just get us through the winter, you little red bastards. We'll be all right.
And we're back here on the Underground on Earth Fear Radio Network. My name is Z. I'm your host. That was Richard Pryor from his CD Good Shit from the Vaults. I think that's a... only part of the box set, that CD there of Richard. Anybody who's a Richard Pryor fan. And before that was Propagandi with Bullshit Politicians. Now, the reason I played a comedy bit there, and I will play a song and then a comedy bit at every break, is because I can't emphasize enough the fact that we need to maintain a balance. Now, I'm not saying go back to sleep, if you will, or nothing like that, but you know, you gotta enjoy life at the same time. We're only gonna be here for a short time, no matter what happens. Life isn't short or isn't long enough to begin with. So, you know, go out and enjoy your life. Have fun. Go take your wife out for dinner. I gotta get around to that. And, you know, go play with your kids if you're lucky enough to have children. And, you know, make what you can out of it. But at the same time, stay informed and maintain a balance in it. It can be done. Before we went to break, we were talking about the list of CIA atrocities over the years. And as I read that first paragraph of the article that summarized what the CIA has done over the years to try to, you know, overthrow governments and assassinate democratically elected leaders and all that great stuff that they do, economic sabotage and death squads and all that, it gave me chills because I think about where we are today at this present day. And, I mean, you guys all know that they are just itching to suspend the Constitution and declare martial law if they can. And here we have an agency that's designed to control popular opposition. And that's scary. It's a very scary thought. Which is exactly why we need to start paying attention to these kind of things. Because what are we going to do if this is turned around on us? What if it's not Honduras next time, or Guatemala, or Greece? It's scary because we've seen these same things, the propaganda and, you know, stuffed ballot boxes, purchased elections, extortion and blackmail, sexual intrigue, false stories about opponents in the local media. You can see all those things at work on a daily basis. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that the CIA is, you know, solely to blame for all this, but it is kind of interesting that they have partaken in this sort of behavior in other countries all over the world for the last, well, 60 years, almost 60 years. And for us to believe that if this is going on in our own land and in, you know, in the United States right now, then why wouldn't they be the suspect? That's what I'd like to know. If you got somebody who's got a history of being domestically violent and beating their wife, and then somebody beats up their wife, who's the first person you're going to think is, you know, guilty for it? You're not going to think it's the guy down the road. It's just common sense. So anyway, enough of me rambling on. Go back to the timeline now. We've already gone over Paperclip. And next one down the list that really caught my eye was Radio Free Europe, which the CIA creates its first major propaganda outlet in 1949, Radio Free Europe. Over the next several decades, its broadcasts are so blatantly false that for a time it's considered illegal to publish transcripts of them in the U.S. And right below it, it says late 40s, Operation Mockingbird. The CIA begins recruiting American news organizations and journalists to become spies and disseminators of propaganda. The effort is headed by Frank Wisner, Alan Dulles, Richard Helms, and Philip Graham. Graham is a publisher of the Washington Post, which becomes a major CIA player. Eventually, the CIA's media assets will include ABC, NBC, CBS, Time, Newsweek, Associated Press, United Press International, Reuters, Hearst Newspapers, Scripps Howard, Copley News Service, and more. By the CIA's own admission, at least 25 organizations and 400 journalists will become CIA assets. Think about that. Let it sink in. This is admitted stuff here. Think about that next time you turn on your TV and watch CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or any of the major news media outlets. Think about that one little fact there that since the late 40s, so that's well over 50 years, the CIA has been recruiting American news organizations and journalists to become spies and disseminators of propaganda. Think about that. That's right there in writing. That's Operation Mockingbird. Look that up. Go to your library if you don't trust the internet. They do still have libraries with books in them. Anyway, back to the timeline. 1953, of course, was the overthrowing of the democratically elected Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran. We might be seeing another overthrowing of a government in Iran very soon. In fact, if you're listening to this network, then you're probably expecting some sort of fake terror attack soon. I actually saw something pretty funny on NBC last night. I just kind of watched the president's speech there for laughs, basically, and it was pretty funny, you know. Like, the guy's, you know, pretty funny guy. Anyway, one thing I noticed was, it seemed to me anyways, that NBC's coverage of the speech was more negative than I have seen in a long time, which kind of surprised me. And even Mrs. Z was sitting on the couch next to me, and she, you know, we were kind of looking at each other going, like, are they really saying that? You know, like, they were being very critical of the president's policy towards Iraq. You know, we're going to stay the course. And, I mean, we all know where we've heard that. That's verbatim what Lyndon Johnson was saying in the 60s about Vietnam. And we all know where that tragic story led. Another thing they said on NBC last night, I think it was General McCaffrey that they had interviewed, and he had said that there was a genuine risk that if the U.S. pulled out, that Iran would invade Iraq and topple the democracy that we've worked so hard to set up over there. And I almost hit the floor laughing. I couldn't believe that I heard that. Now, does anybody really believe that Iran is that stupid, that fucking dumb, to invade Iraq after the U.S. pulls out? That would just be the pretext that the U.S. would need to go in and just fucking destroy them. I mean, but back to the the growing or the ongoing list, I should say. Also in 53, of course, the same year that Iran had its government overthrown, Operation MKUltra, inspired by North Korea's brainwashing program, the CIA begins experiments on mind control. The most notorious part of this project involves giving LSD and other drugs to American subjects without their knowledge or against their will, causing several to commit suicide. However, the operation involves far more than this. Funded in part by the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations, research includes propaganda, brainwashing, public relations, advertising, hypnosis, and other forms of suggestion. CIA is also well-traveled. I mean, 54 to 58, North Vietnam, 1956, Hungary, 57 to 73 in Laos, 59, Haiti, 1961, the Bay of Pigs. Everybody knows the story of the Bay of Pigs. CIA sends 1,500 Cuban exiles to invade Castro's Cuba, but Operation Mongoose fails due to poor planning, security, and backing. The planners had imagined that the invasion will spark a popular uprising against Castro, which never happens. A promised American airstrike also never occurs. This is the CIA's first public setback, causing President Kennedy to fire CIA Director Allen Dulles. Also in 61, the CIA was active in the Dominican Republic, in Ecuador, and the Congo. And I mean, this list is just goes on and on and on. 1966, the Ramparts Affair. A radical magazine, Ramparts, begins a series of unprecedented anti-CIA articles. Among their scoops, the CIA had paid the University of Michigan $25 million to hire professors to train South Vietnamese students in covert police methods. MIT and other universities have received similar payments. Ramparts also reveals that the National Students Association is a CIA front. Students are sometimes recruited through blackmail and bribery, including draft deferments. If you wave that in front of a college kid, you don't have to go to Vietnam if you become a spy. 1967, CIA-backed military coup overthrows a government in Greece 2 days before the election. In 1968, Operation Chaos, CIA has been illegally spying on American citizens since 1959. But with Operation Chaos, President Johnson dramatically boosts the effort. CIA agents go undercover as student radicals to spy on and disrupt campus organizations protesting the Vietnam War. They're searching for Russian instigators, which they never find. Chaos will eventually spy on 7,000 individuals and 1,000 organizations. And you go down the list, 69, Uruguay, 70, Cambodia, 71, Bolivia and Haiti. 72, the Case-Zablocki Act. Congress passes an act requiring congressional review of executive agreements. In theory, this should make the CIA operations more accountable. In fact, it's only marginally effective. And 72, we have the Watergate break-in as well. President Nixon sends in a team of burglars to wiretap Democratic offices at Watergate. The team members have extensive CIA histories, including James McCord, E. Howard Hunt, and five of the Cuban burglars. They work for the Committee to Re-elect the President, or CREEP, which does dirty work like disrupting Democratic campaigns and laundering Nixon's illegal campaign contributions. So basically, these were ex-CIA goons hired by Nixon. They're more commonly known as the plumbers. And this will be the last one I go into here, because I'm probably going to go off on a rant on it. But 1975, Australia, I came to that, and that sort of startled me a little bit, because most of the countries on this list and the places that CIA's been active are predominantly either, you know, Eastern European countries or Third World countries or Latin American countries. This one really stuck out for me because if, you know, they would be willing to overthrow the Australian government, then who else would they be willing to topple? You know, Britain or Canada? How far would they go, you know? 1975, Australia. The CIA helps topple the democratically elected left-leaning government of Prime Minister Edward Whitlam. The CIA does this by giving an ultimatum to its Governor General, John Kerr. Kerr, a longtime CIA collaborator, exercises his constitutional right to dissolve the Whitlam government. The Governor General is a largely ceremonial position appointed by the Queen. The Prime Minister is democratically elected. The use of this archaic and never-used law stuns the nation. So that's all I'm going to read out of that timeline of CIA atrocities. And again, if you want to look that up, I'll put the link up at Revere Forums there. You can have a look at that article. So we're going to go to break now. And when we come back, we're going to go on to the next topic of discussion here on the Underground, here on Revere Radio Network.
But few people are as committed to pot smoking as I am. For I wake and bake. I rise with red eyes. Turn and burn. Pillow and billow. Roust and roast. Raisin toast. OJ and Roll J. Puff and muffin. Pancake and bake. Big bowl of raisin bran, big bowl of resin, man. Bisquick and quick, hit this shit. Bush and brush. Froth and floss. Scope and dope. Listerine and Mr. Green. Mach 3 turbo and pack the herbo. Arm and Hammer baking soda and peroxide, extra whitening toothpaste, and smoke some fucking weed.
Down, which I could never fall. whole medicinal marijuana thing. I mean, I've done some benefits for them, but first of all, I'm not a pot smoker. I've tried it, gave it plenty of opportunities. It didn't work for me. If it works for you, have at it. But just the argument where it's a pro-drug argument, but the fact that they have to say it's, you know, this is just about medicine. No, if you're going to have a pro-drug argument, start the argument where it starts. It's my fucking business. Fuck off. I mean, you don't put that on the sign. You're going to use tact and stuff that I don't have. That's why I'm not in charge of any of those things. But, I mean, but they have to do it. The reason it boils down to old fucks vote, and that's the problem with this country. Old fucks vote, and we don't. We have shit to do. Old fucks have nothing to do but judge you and vote. They don't have to work at UPS on Super Tuesday. They have nothing to do. Hang around the polls, judge you, and vote. They're bitter. Why is he smiling? It must be something wrong with you. Yeah, vote no on whatever it is he's doing. He's smiling. We don't vote. We got shit to do. Right? And that's why they have to put the argument in old people context. Don't worry. Old people are going to... Baby boomers are going to start to die in droves, and it's a good thing. I know a lot of them are our parents, but sorry, you're going to go. Sorry, Ma. Goodbye. Right? Yeah, your day's over, and there's new shit that you won't accept because you... People do that. Old people, they look back at the good old days, and it was good because they were young. But they act like it was the day. No, it was because youth is good. That's gone, and you're fucked. It's not the day, and then they reject anything that's new. It's like we do with fucking hip-hop if you're in your 30s. Oh, fuck that. That ain't music. We had music back when 38 Special was around. Why not? Let's all fucking kill ourselves for the hypocrisy, right? But that's why they use the medicinal marijuana argument, because that... If you put it in a medical context, now old people are all sympathy and heartstrings. You know, we don't want to get high. This is really just about Jimmy with glaucoma. Bring out Milky Eye Jim. He gets to the old people, and old people see the milky eyes, and they go, my friend Fran from Normandy had milky eyes the last time I saw him, and I vote yes, right? And it's a bullshit argument, but it wastes too much time. Start the argument where it starts. I have the right to do whatever the hell I want to my own body. If it kills me slowly, happy for me, fuck you, clack, clack, stop me. Right? Start the argument, because you're wasting my time. You're going to spend 25 years so Milky Eye Jim can get a government-subsidized bong hit of some dirt weed. I want to buy mushrooms at Walmart tomorrow. Let's fucking just... fight this one out. All illegal narcotics are medicinal. Boredom is a disease worse than cancer. Drugs cure it.
We're back with the Underground on Roof Free Radio Network.
With
my name
little
is Z.
Or no
I am
bad
your host.
Side effects if used
during the break,
directed.
We heard the Marijuana Logs, the Wake and Bake skit, and followed by Strung Out with Blueprint of the Fall, and Doug Stanhope with his skit Medicinal Marijuana. Now I want to thank everybody for surviving long enough to make it to the third segment of the show here. Hopefully I can get better at this as the weeks go on. I'm still kind of figuring out the software and everything, so you can only go up, right? But we're going to move on to the next topic. This is something I came across on whatreallyhappened.com today while I was just kind of trying to get a little bit of the news, as I do every day. It's a link to a site, I think it's a forum actually, and one of the members of the forum has posted a bumper sticker, a picture of a bumper sticker that he saw at a parking lot, and... The car has California plates. It's still actually got the license plate number showing. It's kind of funny, but this bumper sticker, it gave me chills because this is the extent, and I mean, and this is only one American, but this is the extent that it seems the country is divided now, and it's really sad to see. It's a big yellow sticker right next to Old Glory on the back windshield. And it says liberal hunting permit and special issue resident permanent. Says no bag limit, tagging not required. May be used while under the influence of alcohol. May be used to hunt liberals at gay pride parades, Democratic conventions, union rallies, handgun control meetings, news media associations, lesbian lunches, and Hollywood functions. May hunt day or night, with or without dogs. that blew my mind. I mean, is that what it's come to? I know that's only one guy, but is that what we've come to now, where people are actually, you know, putting bumper stickers on their car? That's that guy's right. I mean, you know, it's protected by free speech rights, but whatever happened to love your neighbor, you know? That's what I guess I'm still kind of young and naive, but that seems like a very aggressive thing to put on your car and kind of advertise to everybody. So that disturbed me a lot. So that was one thing I wanted to share with you guys there. If I can remember, I'll put up a link to that as well on the forum. One more thing I want to share with you guys before I close out the show here is something I came across while doing some random searching on the internet. I don't know why I was doing it, but I was searching for information on the murder of Versace, Johnny Versace, or whatever his name is, the fashion designer. Doesn't really fucking matter, but most of you guys would know he was murdered in Miami, and he was killed by a guy who had killed six other people, supposedly, and there's rumors that, you know, it was the mob really did it, and, you know, the CIA really did it. Who really knows, you know? I didn't really dig that deep into it, but one of the things I came across was a article that was in Maxim magazine in 1999, May of 1999 to be exact. It's called Conspiracy Theory Crackpots, and I started reading this, and a lot of what they are attacking here has, since 99, really unfolded in front of our eyes. Well, at least one or two things. Starts out, or is written by Devin Jackson. It says, nobody just dies anymore. They're assassinated by a secret wing of the Vatican under orders to cover up a plot or to control your mind by inserting a biochip in your butt. At least that's what conspiracy theorists believe. It's tough to know what to make of conspiracy theories. Sometimes, well, 99.9% of the time, these theories are nothing more than delusional observations, crazy glued to a random fact by some basement-dwelling loner who hasn't seen sunlight in years. But every now and then, you overhear a snippet in a bar that gets you wondering. Maybe you start to think Oliver Stone is only half the loony appears to be. Here's our spare the horseshit guide to the current crop of crackpot conjecture. Smells like Kurt was killed. The facts. On April 8th, 1994, Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain was found dead in his suburban Seattle home. A 20-gauge shotgun and a suicide note were within arm's reach. The theory, in blunt words of Seattle journalist Richard Lee, Kurt Cobain was murdered. Lee and a merry band of Cobain conspiracy theorists have created a circus atmosphere among Nirvana devotees, as well as a few book deals for themselves, with their shocking new evidence and chock-full-of-holes allegations. They claim that Cobain's ambitious wife, Courtney Love, arranged to blow off poor Kurt's head. The motive? A dead Cobain is a more profitable Cobain. Smoking gun? There's no shortage of proof, so why not start with a trustworthy source like Eldon El Duce Hoke of the Los Angeles punk band The Mentors, who claims in December of 93, Love offered him $50,000 to knock off her husband. A slightly more eyebrow-raising nugget comes from Canadian journalist Ian Halperin, who says, there were no fingerprints on the shotgun. Obviously, it's tough to wipe away your prints with your brain on the floor. Halperin and Tom Grant, a private detective, also maintain that the heroin overdose of Christian Pfaff, the bassist in Love's band Hole, only 2 months after Kurt died, was surprise, not an OD. Somebody whacked her because she knew too much. And then there's Michigan's stockbroker turned conspiracy peddler Bradley Barnett. He claims he met Kurt in a Melvin and Howard scenario a few days before Cobain's death, and Kurt told him that he'd overheard Courtney plotting to rub him out. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth, come on kids, we know you loved him, but Cobain had already tried to kill himself twice before, and Courtney saved his ass. And while the police admit that there are no identifiable fingerprints on the gun, they also say that it's not uncommon. Just because Courtney traded her grunge look for a new nose doesn't mean that she killed her husband. It simply means she's a sellout. The truth, according to Maxim, Cobain was murdered, but it wasn't an act of love. When a spat over a sack of donuts turned ugly, Elvis Presley pulled the trigger. Holden Caulfield made me do it. The facts, seconds after killing John Lennon on December 8, 1980, Mark David Chapman calmly waited outside Lennon's apartment building in New York City and began reading his copy of J.D. Salinger's The Catcher in the Rye. Less than 4 months later, on March 30th, 1981, John Hinckley Jr. tried to snuff out President Ronald Reagan. In his possession at the time, a copy of Catcher. The theory, these kinds of coincidences are just too much for any God-fearing conspiracy theorist to take sitting down. Which may explain why Paranoia magazine couldn't restrain itself from running an article musing that Catcher in the Rye could be a triggering device which sets off post-hypnotic suggestion, a mind-control trick developed by the CIA, unleashing the command to kill. Basically, the CIA brainwashes some poor schlub to commit murder, and a phrase in the book sets the devious plan into action. The smoking gun? In World War II, Salinger reportedly served in the U.S. Army's Counterintelligence Corps. Paranoia speculates that the military could well have trained the aspiring writer in psychological mind control. And then there's this. On the day of Hinckley's assassination attempt, Hinckley's older brother, Scott, had dinner scheduled with an old family friend, Neil Bush, son of the vice president, who was the former head of the CIA, which was once mentioned in a movie that co-starred Kevin Bacon. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth, maybe, just maybe, really screwed up alienated loners like to read books about really screwed up alienated loners. The truth, according to Maxim, both Chapman and Hinckley were wearing shoes at the time that they were arrested. Screw the CIA, it was the footwear industry. Next one is one that we're starting to see more than perhaps any of us would like. It's a credit card in every head. The facts, it's no secret that experimental smart cards, wallet-sized cards capable of containing one's credit and medical history, as well as other personal information, are already being tested in welfare programs in Ohio and other states. It's also been well documented that scientists at MIT's Media Lab glowingly envision a day when all of us will have a computer chip embedded in our clothing and shoes. They even hint that chips may be one day implanted into our bodies. The theory, yes, it's a fevered rant, but Tex Myers, an evangelist with a small right-wing Living Truth Ministries in Texas, an author of the self-published Implantable Biochips and the End of Human Freedom and Dignity, has found an audience for his whacked-out theory. Myers, blessed his paranoia heart, frets that the government will use the technology not only to monitor where you are and what you're thinking, but eventually to transmit messages and control your behavior, creating a nation of vegetable-like slaves. The smoking gun, don't just listen to Tex on this one, as if you would, seeing how he bases his evil implant theory on a recollection of a comment he remembers overhearing at a White House official made years ago. Instead, consider this prediction from MIT Media Lab professor Neil Gershenfeld in a 1990 interview with New York Magazine. In 30 years, we will edit the human DNA to grow this stuff out of us. Presto, your very own barcode birthmark. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth, Tex, hasn't TV already made us a nation of zombies? The truth, according to Maxim, there's only one thing that the government wants to insert in us, and they're already doing it from behind. But yet, you know, they would never pull something off like 9/11, would they? Unreal. The next one is Versace. I don't think anybody needs to hear about Johnny Versace. It just happens to be where I stumbled upon this. Next one down is Feds bombed Oklahoma. And the facts, on April 19th, 1995, an explosion ripped through Oklahoma City's Alfred P. Murrah building, killing 168 people. The jury found Timothy McVeigh guilty of the bombing. The theory, after extensive analysis, Australian geophysicist Harry Mason who specializes in mineral resource exploration, offers a blindingly bizarre alternative scenario. A super secret unit within the U.S. government, perhaps a faction of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, set off the blast with a new electromagnetic weapon. The smoking gun, local seismologists recorded strange seismic activities seconds before the explosion, says Mason. But naturally, the FBI confiscated their findings. In an article in Nexus, an Australian conspiracy magazine, Mason cites eyewitness accounts of pre-blast phenomena that he maintains indicates the use of an electromagnetic weapon. A silver beam shooting out of the top of the building, shock waves that fried electronic ignition devices in nearby cars, and the motive for using the weapon? Because Secret Service agents were killed in the blast, Mason hints at a plot against the service's anti-drug operations. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth, blow up an entire building to kill a few agents? Surely the ATF must have heard of car bombs, right? And if McVeigh wasn't in the bombing biz, what the hell was he doing with that ammonium nitrate and fuel oil in his truck? Planning a big old weenie roast? The truth, according to Maxim, the French did it. We just don't know why. Of course, no mention of John Doe number 2, the other guy that was seen in the truck, or anything else like that. They just ignore it and scale over it. And the last one that I'm going to go through from this article here, we're going to skip over OJ, unless anybody wants to really hear more about OJ. It's called The Pentagon Will Scramble Your Brains, The Facts, Project HARP, an acronym for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, is a multi-million dollar experiment conducted by the Air Force and Navy. Located in a remote corner of Alaska, HARP consists of 180 72-foot towers, outfitted with all kinds of gadgetry. On its website, the Navy explains that HARP will be blasting millions of watts of radio wave energy toward space to irradiate the ionosphere, an atmospheric layer about 35 miles from the surface of the Earth, and observe its complex natural variations. The theory, environmentalists and Alaskans see a darker plot. In their 1995 book, Angels Don't Play This HARP, Gene Manning and Nick Begich, son of Alaska's late Congressman Nick Begich Sr., argue that HARP has all the markings of a Star Wars-style mega-weapon, one capable of scrambling radio transmissions, altering wildlife migration patterns, causing blackouts, and jamming global communication systems. Their arguments are compelling, until, that is, they start babbling about mind manipulation at a distance, otherwise known as reading our brains and controlling our thoughts. The smoking gun, Begich and Manning, did their homework. They dug up Texas physicist Bernhard Eastland, who worked on the patent which they claim provided the groundwork for HARP. In it, Eastland sounds very much the mad scientist claiming his invention could control weather patterns and disrupt airplane and missile guidance systems. Meanwhile, back on planet Earth, 180 towers? Come on, if the government really wanted to control your mind, they'd come up with something smaller and more inconspicuous, like a credit card implanted in your brain. The truth, according to Maxim, mind manipulation at a distance, we haven't seen evidence of that. All we know is that our government is good and honest in every way. We should pay more taxes and make the president a monarch. That's the end of that hit piece there. A little nostalgia for you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to The Underground. I hope if you haven't fallen asleep already, you're still awake and still going. So that's the end of the show. Hope you guys come back next week on Revere Radio Network. And until then, this is Z signing off. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. See you next week. Informed innocent people trying to murder Saddam when you gave them those chemical weapons to go to war with Iran. This is the information that they hold back from Peter Jennings, because Condoleezza Rice is just a new age Sally Hemings. I break it down with critical language and spiritual anguish. The Judas I hang with, the guilt of betraying Christ, who murdered him, stole his religion, and painted him white, translated in psychological. Logically tainted philosophy, conservative political right-wing ideology, glued together sloppily, the blasphemy of a nation. Got my back to the wall, cause I'm facing assassination.
Guantanamo Bay, federal incarceration. How could this be? The land of the free, home of the brave, indigenous Holocaust, and the home of the slaves. Corporate America, dancing offbeat to the rhythm. You really think this country never sponsored terrorism? Human rights violations, we continue the saga. El Salvador and the Contras and Nicaragua. And on top of that, you still wanna take me to prison just cause I won't trade humanity for patriotism. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain, suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They wanna rearrange the whole point of view of the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government wants us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Read about the history of the place that we live in, and stop letting corporate news tell lies to your children. Flow like the blood of Abraham through the Jews and the Arabs, broken apart like a woman's heart abused in a marriage. The brink of holy war, bottled up like a miscarriage. Embedded correspondence don't tell the source of the tension, and they refuse to even mention European intervention or the massacres in Jenine. The innocent screams, US manufactured missiles and M16s, weapon contracts and corrupted American dreams. Media censorship blocking out the video screens. A continent of oil kingdoms bought for a bargain. Democracy is just a word when the people are starving. The average citizen made to be blind to the reason. A desert full of genocide where the bodies are freezing, and the world doesn't believe that you're fighting for freedom cause you fucked the Middle East and gave birth to a demon. It's open season with the CIA bugging my crib, trapped in a ghetto region like a Palestinian kid, where nobody gives a fuck whether you die or you live. I'm trying to give the truth, and I know the price is my life, but when I'm gone, they'll sing a song about immortal technique. Who beheaded the president and the princes and sheiks? You don't give a fuck about us. I can see through your facade like a fallen angel standing in the presence of God. Bitch nigga scared of the truth when it looks at you hard. It's like MK Ultra controlling your brain, suggestive thinking causing your perspective to change. They wanna rearrange the whole point of view in the ghetto. The fourth branch of the government want us to settle. A bandana full of glittering generality, fighting for freedom and fighting terror. But what's reality? Martial law is coming soon to the hood to kill yo, while you hanging your flag out your project window. Yeah. The fourth branch of the government, aka the media, seems to now have a retirement plan for ex-military officials, as if their opinion was at all unbiased. A machine shouldn't speak for men, so shut the fuck up, you mindless drone. And you know it's serious when these same media outfits are spending millions of dollars on a PR campaign to try to convince you they're fair and balanced, when they're some of the most ignorant and racist people giving that type of mentality a safe haven. We act like we share in the spoils of war that they do. We die in wars. We don't get the contracts to make money off them afterwards. We don't get weapons contracts, nigga. We don't get cheap labor for our companies, nigga. We are cheap labor, nigga. Turn off the news and read, nigga. Read.